birthday party?
Miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. All right, Abracadamits, Halloween is here. Yes, it is Sunday, and I cannot wait for Halloween. It is my favorite holiday. It was my favorite holiday before it was cool to be everyone else's favorite holiday. I'm going to say that, too. But no, I love it, man. So many great childhood memories. Man. So many good memories. For you guys thinking about giving out candy, if you went and bought that cheap shit, please just go on. Go on. Don't even do it. Don't even do it. Okay, these children deserve more than that cheap-ass orange and black wrapper candy. I don't even know. You guys know what I'm talking about, that stuff? I don't even know where they made that. It came in like little black wrappers and little orange wrappers. And inside of it was like this chunk of molasses, I think, or nougat molasses. And in the center, I think it had the cheapest type of peanut butter. I don't know. Was it peanut butter? I don't know. But please, if you've got that stuff, just go to bed, okay? Go to bed. Help. Grab some Tums. Give the kids Tums before you give them that shit. That's horrible. I hope they don't even make that anymore. I don't know. Also, a little off topic from Halloween. I know you guys, have heard the crazy sad situation, what happened on the movie set with Alec Baldwin. And I've got to be honest, man, the internet has no chill whatsoever. You know, I've seen some of the most brutal memes you could imagine. And by the way, they're absolutely hilarious. I personally, like, hey, I love the joke, really I do, but I refuse to take part in taking any shots whatsoever at Alec Baldwin. Anyways, with that said, let's get rolling with today's sponsor for the Abracadam Podcast. Okay, well, today's episode is brought to you by Rosie Tattoos. Custom tattoos designed to suit your style in a friendly and clean environment. I've been getting my tattoos done by Rosie for a while now, and I couldn't recommend anyone else because she does excellent work. As a matter of fact, I got an appointment to see Rosie here in just a few weeks, and I cannot wait to get my ink therapy done, baby. Rosie gets free consultations by Facebook Messenger, Instagram, or by email. Shoot her an email at rosietattoos@yahoo.com. Give Rosie a call today at 865-281-3451. Or go see Rosie at 5710 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. Get your ink therapy done. You know you want a tattoo. Go see Rosie Tattoos. All right, Abracadamits. Now, today's guest is a super cool dude. He is a professional wrestler and the host of his very own show, Hacks Horror Show. He is a guru of everything scary movies. So, if you enjoy scary movies as much as I do, you're absolutely going to love this episode. So if you will, Abracadamit, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with Hack from Hack's Horror Show.
All right, we got my man Hack from Hack's Horror Show here on the African Dam Podcast today. How you doing, Hack?
Hi, kids. Oh, brother, I am doing great. Sorry, I had to get that out of my system. Of course, I'm doing great.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I tell you what, if you don't mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the African Dam listeners?
Yes, everybody. I am Hack from Hack's Horror Show. And you can see me at all kinds of different independent wrestling events all over the United States. All your little creepy cons and little horror fests, stuff like that. You can see me pop up there. Sometimes I got a table. Sometimes I'm just hanging out with you guys. But you can check out Hack's Horror Show all over Roku, Vimeo, and all those other places.
You know, that was super cool. First of all, I think the first time me and you crossed paths was on the set of WJC AM, the movie, that we're both in, by the way, which will be out here soon, folks. Actually, by the time this airs, it may already be out, right?
Yeah, it could be out by, maybe around Halloween time, WJC FM, AM. Name of the movie. Man, that movie set was a whole lot of fun. And when you came in there, I had the mindset of what I was going to do. And then you came in and your performance, and I was like, oh, shit, now I got to step it up. Now I got to, like, really try to, like, really deliver.
Dude, that was a blast, bro. But, well, here's the cool thing about you, though, man. Like, so you do acting. You are a wrestler. And then you're also a horror movie encyclopedia enthusiast. Really, you are. Let's throw this in here. I think this is safe, too, man. You're almost like an entrepreneur because, brother, I mean, you were out there getting shit done, son. You know what I mean? You were making stuff happen. So let's do this real quick because there are a few titles. What came first? Was it wrestling or was it horror movies?
They kind of both almost came at the same time, actually. When I was a kid, believe it or not, like, I can paint and I can draw portraits of people. And people say, oh, you're such a talented artist. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, I'm like, drawing is boring. Even though I can draw a perfect picture of someone or a meadow, I'm like, I get no enjoyment. And here I am 6 years old, and I'm begging my parents for a Crypt Keeper doll. And all I got is wrestling action figures. I was like, I'm going to do two things. I was like, I want to be a horror host, and I want to be a professional wrestler. And I got home movies still from me as a kid doing both. I'm like, the character was both. He was a horror host that also, like, try to get kick ass. But, well, I'm branching off, but I end up normally getting my ass kicked. But they both kind of came up at the same time, but wrestling definitely took off first. That was right out of the gate, doing training and then trying to get on the circuit, get on the little loop there and make towns and try to make some monies, which was almost impossible. But yeah, wrestling definitely came first. And then later on, the horror show, I finally was able to make that happen. But and then it took a little brief break because I was on just public access, and the only people watching were, like, old people that fell asleep with the TV on, and not many people. And then my television show is TVMA. It's a lot of adult content. It's mainly me acting like a maniac, showing some music videos, and then showing some movies, and there's a few lost episodes I'm trying to get out there to the public that got me completely banned from public access and everywhere else. But luckily, Brandon Bishop there at Asai TV decided to give me a chance.
That's awesome. And
thank God he did.
Well, yeah, it's definitely MATV. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, you're just a wild and crazy host kind of thing. The movies you show some real true classic horror movies. I mean, even some black and white stuff, which is pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. And there's a few on there that are super hard to find, super rare. Like, people ask me, they're like, man, I've never seen or heard of that movie. Where did you find that? And I'm like, it's just something that, you know, early 90s that I remember watching. and then completely like tracked it down on the internet. And then of course find the distributor and whoever owns it and getting their permission to get it on there was a pain. And there's a few new titles every once in a while. I'll surprise you. Always try to leave the movie as a surprise. It's normally horror hosts, they introduce the movie, tell you all about it, who's in it. And my biggest thing is I ain't gonna say that I don't give a shit who's in the movie, but a lot of the people watching are like, just shut up, hack, and play the movie. So I'm like, if they're gonna love it, I tell them you're gonna love it, or if they're gonna hate it, I'm like, hey, this movie's awful. But yeah, either way, I want to surprise them when they tune in, they start watching it, because they don't know what's about to hit them.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's one of the really cool things that you do with the show. Now, you know, it's interesting because when I was growing up as a kid, I was a big wrestling fan, and we used to wrestle in the backyard, and we did some cool things. And then later on, you know, I took a different direction. But, you know, I still love wrestling to this day. I love wrestling and horror movies. I was always a big horror movie fan, grew up terrified of Jason and Freddy and Michael Myers. Now, you know, we've got this, speaking of Michael Myers, we've got this Halloween Kills movie coming out, which I'm excited for, because we're going to geek out for a second here, Hack. Okay. Yep. Now, everyone loves the original, which absolutely the original just has moments of just some brilliant things about it that no horror movie had ever really done before. You know, the very first one. And I'm a fan of all the old ones, pretty much, until you start getting around to the Busta Rhymes bullshit. I thought that was like god awful those days.
Or the one with Paul Rudd, tattoo, and the weird mask. I think that was the '98.
Yeah,
that one was a tough one to get through.
That was a tough one. And then let's talk about, you know, we know those were gold. Those were great, except for the, like I said, the Paul Rudd years. Then you had the Rob Zombie remakes, which I enjoyed. And the thing I loved about the first Rob Zombie was the backstory on Michael. I loved that.
Yes.
And the second one, I didn't love as much as the first one, but I think it was the second movie. And this is something about Rob Zombie that is brilliant. And for you guys who have seen the movie, maybe go back and watch it. But there's a part, and tell me if you remember this, Hack. There's a part in the movie, and I think it was the second one, where Michael Myers is in the back of that van.
Oh, yes.
And you don't, the camera doesn't show Michael getting out of the van. You just see the van raise up about 3 feet from, you know. Yeah. So it, to me, when I saw that, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I thought, my God, this is a massive man that is getting out of this van. Stuff like that is detail that is just gold to me.
I'm a big advocate for the Rob Zombie ones, because he filled in so many of the gaps. Like, how would he be so tough to not feel this and that and the other? Well, of course, he's a psychopath, but he's a massive man. It's going to take a lot to hurt him. But also, it's kind of like he's locked up in an insane asylum. But when you see him, he's clean cut, shaved. Now, why would a crazy man shave? Why would he even care? And Rob Zombie shows the beard, the hair, like he's not worried about that. The whole backstory, that would make anybody be crazy. So it gave him way more depth. And I think the whole little meme thing, hating on it, when the movie made like $32 million and like broke a record for Memorial Day that just recently been broken, like everybody went and seen that movie and everybody loved it, and now they just recently like don't like it for some reason, which I love both of them. The guy who plays Chucky from Child's Play is the sheriff in the scene where he finds his daughter in the bathroom and she's just all bloody and it's completely silent. And he's screaming. You can tell that he's just screaming, but it's completely silent. And that right there, I was like, wow. It was one of those parts of a movie that was really powerful and so well done. And I was like, I can't hate this movie, because I'm watching this slasher and I'm like, I'm heartbroken with the sheriff looking at his kid.
And so you understand. So, and let's, and we could even say at that moment, like, okay, first of all, art. All right.
Yeah.
In order to call something art, art will make you feel an emotion that you weren't expecting to feel.
Yes.
Rob Zombie made you humanize. You humanized with that character right then, and you thought, wow, this is, you know what I mean? So there's no way you can say that movie was not a great horror film. And now with the new ones right now, I know Danny McBride is involved with it. And who is the other person along with Danny McBride?
Oh,
I cannot remember his name, but it's Danny McBride with somebody else. Well, I thought they did a good job in the first one, but I will tell you, I had one issue with it. Okay. This is my big problem. I personally think they had the perfect amount of gore versus everything else in the film. I really thought they hit that perfect. But here's the big issue that I had in the film, Hack. All right. This is me. Now, this is just me.
All right.
I think it pissed me off how many times they showed Michael's face. They showed his face too much in that film. And to me, the Michael Myers, the character, it's not about the face anyways. It's the shape, you know?
Yes. It's the white face. You can almost use your imagination on like what's behind it and also what's in front of it. Yeah, way too much showing the face.
Way too much. And I don't understand why they did it. And I hope they don't do that in this next film. That, like I said, by the time your episode comes out, this film will already be out on Peacock, Halloween Kills, and in the theaters. So, hell, that's two movies they need to go see. They need to go see Halloween Kills, and then they need to go see WJHC AM. Those are two great movies.
For sure. That's going to premiere at the drive-in in Maryville, Tennessee, too.
I think I will be there.
I will too. I will definitely be there for sure. The new Halloween coming out, I can't wait. This is the remake of Halloween 3, the Halloween 3 we should have got. And the first one would have been the third part two. There's been three part twos and now two part threes.
Well, isn't there like a cult following on the old school Halloween 3 now? I remember watching it as a kid and I was disappointed as hell. I was like, there's no Michael, you know, but now there's like a cult following for it, right?
That was another one. Like everybody like hated it because they wanted Michael. And then when they got no Michael, they got something else because the whole franchise decided after the first two, they were like, every Halloween will have a new story, a new Halloween story. And that's what they attempted to go with. And I always liked the movie. I thought it was awesome. And if it had any other title than Halloween as like, or Halloween 3, if it wasn't part of that series, everybody would love it. It would have been watched every Halloween. But of course, no Michael, and everybody pitchforking torches like, no, we want our slasher back in. And I can't blame them because they made like the blueprint for the best ever. And I'm a Jason Voorhees fan, I ain't gonna lie. Huge mark, huge fan for Jason Voorhees. He's by far my favorite. But there's no Leatherface, there's no Pinhead, there's no all these iconic people without Michael. He laid the blueprint for all of it. And that first movie and even the second one picking up right there, they fucking nailed it right off the bat. Like they made one of the best movies.
Dude. And okay, I gotta go because I'm with you. I'm with you now. I'm a Jason Voorhees guy. I'm a Jason geek. Really, I am. I watch the movies every time they're on. But let's just be honest. We have to be completely honest. If there would have been no Jason Voorhees if there wasn't a Michael Myers, because that's kind of like where I don't want to say they ripped Halloween off, but that's, you know.
That's where it came from.
That's where it came big from, dude, man.
Big dude. Blank style, just mask, just killing everybody in sight. It was
and you know, you think it this is kind of interesting if we want to back up, and I don't know if they were around the same time frame, but probably like let's talk about the Friday 13th franchise for a moment here.
Yeah,
because Now I have my favorite Friday 13th. I do. Probably six. Park Six is probably my all-time favorite, but I do like all of them actually, except for Jason Takes Manhattan. I have there's moments in the fit, you know, there's moments in the film that I'm like, I love that part.
They
like,
should have called it on a boat.
Oh yeah, yeah. But my favorite part in that movie though is almost like the comedy side to it. Whenever he's Jason's on the building, the top of the building, and he's fighting the boxer, and the boxer just and he says, "Take your best shot," and Jason just knocks his damn head off.
But sitting there watching it, you're sitting there watching and you're thinking, man, he's going to knock your damn head off. And he literally knocked his damn head off. And I thought that was great, especially when it slam dunked into the dumpster. I was like icing on the cake. That was the comedy drum. I was like, that was perfect. I'm so happy it did that. Like, it should have landed in something fun.
That was my favorite part in that whole movie. So let's back up a little bit, because this is really where I was wanting to go. Is okay, so we know about Halloween 3 taking a completely new direction. Well, let's talk about Friday 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. That wasn't Jason at all in that movie.
My favorite. That is
That's your favorite.
People don't believe that Part 5 is my absolute favorite, The New Beginning, and the killer is not Jason, it is Roy Burns, and he's got the little blue on there instead, because his kid gets killed at the home for the children with mental problems, and that weird enough, the ambulance driver who comes there to pick up the body is actually his dad, and he decided to take revenge on him. But you see glimpses of Jason through Tommy's psyche there coming through. But, yeah, Roy Burns. I got the replica mask hanging on the wall.
Oh, and, cool.
And funny enough, I don't know if people can see my eye being all swollen up. Just this past Saturday in Rocky Top, Tennessee, I had a coffin match against Jason Voorhees, but he had the Roy Burns mask on. I was like, people are going to know it's not the actual Jason, so we're putting the Roy Burns mask on him. I'll go ahead and tell everybody. Everybody's already seen the match. It was Luke. Big Luke Walker was as Jason, so he's a mountain of a man. And now you got Hack from Hack's Horror Show battling Jason. And, yeah, my eyes and my forehead's a little sore because Luke's got a really big right hand.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. That's all. And I didn't know that was your favorite one. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Part 5, The New Beginning. I had the VHS tape, and when I watched that thing so many times that I completely broke the tape.
It
broke. If anybody knows anything about VHS, before everything came digitally right into your hands, you had to go to Blockbuster, or you had to go over somebody who recorded it from the Blockbuster tape, who recorded it again, and trade them a tape to get that one. You could get it. And I watched it. And you only got so many times to watch that VHS tape before it just dies. Yeah. It will not last forever. And I wear that thing out, went and got my buddies, borrowed it, and wore it out again. Like, that was my, like, absolute favorite.
That is awesome. And, man, I've seen some, like, independent films done of what was the latest one that I watched? And I will give this a plug. I don't even know the guy who made it, but I think he did a fantastic job. Is Never Hike Alone.
Yes.
I really loved that. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Oh, man, he absolutely did. And now he also has coming out Never Hike in the Snow.
Cool.
And now Never Hike Alone is actually right now being made into a full feature film.
Nice!
I seen him at Days of the Dead, and he was showing Never Hike Alone. And I think I was in Atlanta at that Days of the Dead. And I talked to him before I got down there and stuff, and a few times. And that's when I met him in person. But if you go on the Hack's Horror Show and go through all the episodes, Never Hike Alone is one of the movies at a show because absolutely loved it. And I'm so happy that he's making Never Hike Alone into a full length feature. And that's going to be badass.
You know, what's interesting is we've never seen Jason in the snow.
No. And now you can Never Hike in the Snow. You can. It's Christmas, Jason.
Oh,
You've seen him in hell. You've seen him in Manhattan. Now see him during the holidays.
Okay, so let's talk about the other guy. Okay, now we've talked about Michael, we've talked about Jason. Let's talk about Freddy. Okay.
Yeah.
I was a Freddy Krueger fan, you know, growing up too. Especially the first and the second. Hell, even the third and fourth films, I remember. You know, we got the Dream Warriors and all that stuff. I enjoyed those films. But this is the issue. The thing that I'm afraid of is, like, I've seen the remake, which I didn't like. I'm sorry. I wouldn't. Well, I mean, Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger. There's nothing we can do to change that.
That whole character, the way he talks, the way he acts, everything he did, he embodied that whole thing, and it's so ingrained to the Freddy character. Like, you can't put somebody in that role because the Freddy character is Robert Englund. Like, Jason Voorhees is the hockey mask.
Yeah.
Michael Myers, the white mask, that guy. Like, he, it's not the burns on the face. It's Robert Englund himself.
Absolutely.
It's just like Andrew DeBoff as the Wishmaster. You can't replace him as the Wishmaster.
I mean, I wonder though, are we, I mean, I'd say Robert Englund's getting up there in age right now, probably too old to be able to even, I don't know how much, you know, if we could even get another Freddy Krueger movie.
I'm sure he's got one more in him. We got all this cool stuff now. Be like, just sit here in a chair.
Yeah. And
we video you acting out one that just CGI it on the guy doing all the other stuff. We'll just superimpose it right over.
What is it called? A deep fake. We'll put a deep fake. Just put, you say your lines, we'll put on somebody else's body as long as we can have your face saying lines and doing it, man. Let's make this thing work. And you know what? Some people hated this. I'm going to be honest with you. And I didn't hate this because this was part of my childhood dream. Now, granted, I watched Hollywood take a big shit on my childhood with the Transformer movies and the G.I. Joe movies. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They R. Kelly'd all over my freaking G.I. Joe dreams. Pissed all over it.
That's still sore.
That was horrible what they did to us. But I'll be honest now, some people bitched and moaned, and you may not be a fan. Me personally, I could watch it. And I'm not saying it's the greatest film ever, no. But I just fantasized this so much as a child, and now I'm finally getting to see it take place on the screen, was Freddy versus Jason.
Yes.
And so I'm not saying it was the best film, no, but I'm saying that there was a part of me that just geeked the hell out getting to see that happen.
Same. And like you said, part six on that, when Jason goes to hell, the end
when
the little teaser with the Freddy hand pulling the mask back down the hill. And when I was a kid, when I seen that little crossover, I lost my mind. Finally. And that's the thing that bothers me. Everybody's like, please make a Freddy versus Jason movie. And they did, and everybody complained about. I'm like, we just got it, and I'm like, we got Freddy versus Jason. Like, what did you want? And just like when it showed both of them like going at each other, I was like, this is it. This is the Braveheart. The two teams. I loved it. I actually loved it, and I love the whole idea of, you know, he brought back Jason to scare the kids, thinking it was him.
Yeah,
but Freddy pissed off because he's killing all the kids before he has a chance to murder. He wants to kill him because he's murdering people before he has a chance to. I was like, this is the greatest story ever written.
I love
They got it.
I mean, I don't see how else you could have made that work. So I thought this is brilliant. I love the way they're doing this. And, you know, I would love to see, I don't know if we'll ever get it. Who knows if we'll probably never get it. but it would be cool to see Michael Myers thrown in the mix and have all three of them go at it.
That would be
a master threesome.
That'd be insane. Michael would win. He would win, but just that, yeah, that would be a horror orgy, just all tossed in together. But movies are supposed to be fun. Like the one we worked on together, that's talking about like Y2K and the Rapture all happened at once in a radio station. And that's fun to me. Like those are always the most fun. Like when we got Jason 10, Jason X was Jason in space, and we got Terminator Jason. I was like, this is like amazing. I was like, now he's buff, completely healed up from all the drownings and stabs and fires. And now he's got like the Terminator thing. I was like, this is so kick ass. I wanted his daddy to be a lightsaber. I wish they did that.
He's, instead of machete, had a lightsaber.
Oh yes, that would have been.
I tell you what. Let's. Well, have you seen this? This was pretty. I just saw this, and I'm not even sure on what platform this is on. But there, I'm not talking about the new Chucky movie. I'm not a big fan of these reboots. To a certain now, Halloween. That's a different conversation. But I didn't see the new Child's Play. I wasn't a big fan of what they were doing just by what I saw. But I did see this. They're bringing a Child's Play series, and it's going back to the old school.
Yes. You see cameos from people from part two, and people that were actually in all the original movies are popping up through the series. Chucky's back to being a possessed doll. Spoiler alert, the new Child's Play is literally a toy that somebody's mad at his boss, so he's like, I'm gonna push the button to make it evil. And it's Mark Hamilton, which I love being the Joker, love being Luke Skywalker, but I don't want him to be Chucky.
yeah, I don't want Mark Hamill. Keep Mark Hamill as, you know, he does great as a voice of the Joker. He did great. Yeah. He's good as Luke Skywalker, but let's know your role, Mark. Know your role, brother.
And it's just a little mad robot. I'm like, no, I want it possessed by a serial killer. I want somebody weird inside the doll, not that it's a robot. I couldn't make it all the way through. And normally I don't rag on movies, but that was one I just didn't like. And the series there will be it's on USA. And it will also be on Hulu. So if you got Hulu, as it pops out, it'll all be on there.
I cannot wait to see that. I'm going to watch that.
I'm going to watch every damn one of them. Twice.
I'm definitely a big fan of it. Now, aren't they bringing back, because, you know, I'm talking about all the horror movies that we grew up watching. Now, I didn't watch a lot of these, probably because I was a pussy. Hellraiser used to really scare the total shit out of me. Are they bringing that back?
Yes. We're getting more Hellraisers, which we just got Hellraiser in space, which was awesome. I got Jason, Hellraiser, and the Leprechaun in space. I was like, everybody get a fucking space movie. We did get Hellraiser. Now they are bringing they're revamping the whole thing, so we're going to get more and more Hellraisers, which is always incredible. He's for sure one of my favorites. I don't know if it's where me and my wife are in the BDSM, and he's got, like, the outfits. I'm like, hey, I got that in the closet, the one with the lock on. the whole premise of those movies are always awesome because he's not really the bad guy.
Yeah.
He is, but he isn't.
You know, that's one of the cool things I like about that. Except for Freddy. Now, Freddy's a little tough one to humanize because he was a piece of shit when he was alive, you know. But, you know, the others, you know, were kind of victims to society, which made them who they are, you know. I mean, Jason being a special needs kid and freaking Michael Myers having a shitty home. You know, and then Pinhead, he was, what was his story? I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember.
Was a soldier.
Yeah, he was a soldier. Yeah, yeah.
He was in the war and everything. And Oh man, his story is really tragic. There's a lot of heartbreak and sadness, and that's the thing. There's so much pain, and then when he became that, like, he enjoyed the pain. He wanted everybody to suffer the way he does, but he started enjoying it way too much. But you do, besides Freddie, yeah, now Freddie did get funny later on, but it's still, I couldn't empathize or have any sympathy for that character at all. I'm like, no, somebody needs to fuck kill him.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit, dude. Total piece of shit. Now, and, you know, speaking of that real quick, while I'm thinking of it, sorry, all these things keep jumping in my damn head here. Because we were talking about the independent films, Never Hike Alone. Somebody did a short series on Freddie. Now they did pick, it was Freddie before he was burned, before he was killed. And it was his character showing him killing these children, you know, kidnapping these kids, and he would kill them. And it was almost like the prequel. And the guy they picked to play, I will have to find this and send it to you because I do not know the name of it. But he looks like a really young Robert Englund. He really does look like a young Robert. When I find it, I'll send it to you and you can check it out. I don't know if the guy ever did any more with them, but they were brilliant. They were really short films. And I thought, man, if they did like a prequel like that on Freddy Krueger, that would be amazing.
That would actually be an awesome movie to see. You got to send me the links to that. I want to see those. That would be incredible.
And I mean, when you watch it, you're going to be like, oh shit, you know, here's the creepy. Yeah, I think, you know, Freddie was the janitor at a school is what I'm trying to remember. Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, here's a creepy janitor. He's hanging around, the playground, trying to lure the kids in. Oh, dude, it's super creepy. I will send it to you, though. It was very well done. It's sad that something didn't come of that. Well, let's do this real quick, man. Let's jump right off because we've talked a lot of cool horror stuff. Let's go back to wrestling real quick. I got to point this out too, Hack. My friend Marlon, who's a big fan of yours, by the way. He said something about you, and this is something absolutely true, correct, and I think this probably works out perfect for your character in wrestling. He says, Hack has one of those stares that he could just pierce a brick wall with. You know what I mean, man? And you definitely got that, brother. Definitely got that. So was that something you were born with, or is that something that you had to come up with doing wrestling?
No, that's a leftover from being a kid. And when I was younger, I was a weirdo in the family because I always enjoyed occult, dark, weird stuff. But I was also extremely bashful and extremely like shy. So they would be like hours, and I'd be around family, friends, and I wouldn't talk at all because I was just too nervous. And that's where the stare came from. And that's just a leftover from the weird childhood years. But I kept it definitely because I like to nail people, especially when I see them live in the crowd. Like they're some places they like me, some places they've jumped the guardrails, kicked my ass, and throw me out of the building. But I like to hit them with it and just keep doing it. Like, and especially when I come out, I will do that to the person in the ring, and then I will lock eyes with anybody looking at me. I will lock eyes with them and won't blink. So they're like, yeah. Then they're like, this is kind of uncomfortable. So like, oh man, I really hope he walks away.
Dude, you do, man. I don't see anybody beating you in a stare down, bro. I don't see it happening.
Oh no. Oh no. Staring contest, undisputed champ.
That's awesome. Well, okay. We've mentioned some horror movies. Let's get this, okay, because let's hear it straight from a pro. What is your top five all-time horror movies?
Oh, wow, that's it's like picking which kid I love the most. Top five of all time, without a doubt, number one, my top favorite is The Wishmaster, one and two, especially one. You got this evil genie, which I have a huge tattoo on my leg, And I just got to meet the Wishmaster, and he did a little cameo for the show on the next season coming out. But when I met him, I just ran up to him and I said, "Hey, man, this is going to be weird. Don't freak out, but I'm going to take my pants off." And he had nowhere to go. He didn't know what to do. But I was like, "Yeah, this is your face. Don't look over here. Just right here. Right here's your." But that character in the first movie, he kills Candyman. He kills Tony Todd. He kills Kane Hodder, Jason. He kills Robert Englund. And if you look at that movie, just watch the opening credits. It is the, like, creme de la creme. It is the pedigree of all these people in horror, from the producers to the makeup artists to the special effects people. It's like the top of the list on everything. And they drop a big giant box on Ted Raimi. Like, that character, the Wishmaster, number one. That's number one for sure. Nightbreed would make number two. Nightbreed is the old monster movie with several monsters in it, and the scariest person in the film was not one of the monsters. It's the therapist, Dr. Decker, that when I was a kid watching that, just scared the shit out of me. I was the only thing that made me nervous was Dr. Decker in Nightbreed. But yeah, Wishmaster, Nightbreed, we got to go with Friday the 13th, part 5.
Gotcha.
And then we'd have to go with the first Leprechaun movie, just because I thought he was hilarious and
there
absolutely. And then for the fifth one, that's a tough one. It's almost a tie. That's almost between The Exorcist and Texas Chainsaw, which huge. And that's Texas Chainsaw 2, by the way, with Chop Top and the whole family.
Which one was the one where it had the guy in the wheelchair?
That's part 3. No, that's part 2.
Okay, part 2.
With Dennis Hopper coming with the chainsaws trying to fight the family. That's part 2. The first one didn't have a guy in a wheelchair, I don't believe, but the part 2 did. That's where you got like Bill Moseley has the metal thing and he's chopped.
Oh God, how disturbing was that shit, dude? Jesus. God, I remember. I can remember.
The coat hanger.
What was he doing with the damn coat hanger? Why was he doing that?
He was lighting the end of the coat hanger and heating it up. And he was picking the scabs off around the plate and was eating the scabs off from around it. That's what he was.
I'll never forget seeing that as a kid, man. And I was like, this is some disturbing shit. Well, this is disgusting. And the guy in the wheelchair, I remember, he was like, he gets killed. He winds up getting murdered, I think. Or does he get away? I just remember my anxiety going through the roof because this guy's in a chair and he's trying to get away in this rugged trail and stuff. I'm like, this is horrible.
Nowhere to go. And that movie was insane, but also oh my God, it was hilarious. When me and my wife first met Bill Moseley, he had all these pictures. I mean, Otis, everybody.
Now, Bill Moseley, explain to listeners who Bill Moseley he.
Bill Moseley is Otis from House of a Thousand Corpses. He is Chop Top from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. He is also in Repo Man, the genetic opera, with Paris Hilton and so many other people. And Bill Moseley is one of those actors who's been in everything, but you're not sure what movie he was in, except House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and Three from Hell, and of course, Chop Top from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And that was the picture I was trying to decide. I was like, do I get Otis? Do I get Chop Top? But I had to get the Chop Top picture from him. And then my wife got the picture from him from Repo Man, the genetic opera. And I think was really happy to like do that picture because he's like, I was proud of that movie, working with Paris Hilton and everything. And he's like, I want to sell these pictures. Like, I want to sign this one for sure. And he wrote some extra stuff on it. I was like, yeah, he was really excited about that one. But yeah, that top 5 list is hard to do.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure. And I've got to see you know, a Nightbreed I haven't seen, and I haven't seen the Wishmaster. I want to go see those now. Definitely. I'm a fan, especially the old school. I got super excited whenever I saw that they were bringing the Creepshow back, because I was such a big fan of Creepshow. Now, granted, this new Creepshow, there was some hit and misses, I feel like. The second season, I think, was much better than the first season.
Yeah, season two was awesome. Loved it. And I loved the finale there, where he's in Horror Express, where Absolutely. He's in the Express movie. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And now me and my wife, we just got started on this third season. There's a few of them out now. So
I didn't know the third season was out.
Yes, there's like three episodes right now.
Now, is that on Shudder? Still?
Yes.
Okay.
You got to get Shudder, man. It's the best for classic and the new stuff. And plus, mostly for the Creepshow and Joe Bob is why you got to have Shudder.
Gotcha. But I'm a big fan of the old school Creepshows. You know, so, I mean, damn, every damn one of them were, in my opinion, I thought were gold. Every episode of the old school, you know, Creepshow 1 and 2. One thing that always I'll never forget is the raft. People think, you know, you believe in happy endings, you know what I mean?
No, the raft, like watching it the whole time, like I'm screaming at the TV when it gets to the first person. I'm like, look, they're fucked. Jump and run away and keep going. You can't do nothing. The goose got them. Get the fuck out of and then the one guy being a creep while she's sleeping, filling her up.
Yeah.
Titties. I'm like, there's a monster goo killing people. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, you're that much of a weirdo. You gotta get it right now. And then the tar thing eats her face because he's like being a loser there.
Take it easy, Bill Cosby. You know, calm it down. But they and you know, you watch that and you're just like, geez. But the ending, you know, I'll never forget the first time watching that ending and thinking, all right, dude, you survived. Because, you know, you start putting yourself in that situation and then all of a sudden you're like, nope.
No. And it was gone. And then that got to me a little bit because I was at the Tennessee River there. Around the Bull Run steam plant when they first flooded that area. And I remember the big gooey thing floating down the river. And I was like, oh shit, I seen that. I seen that in person. I seen a chimney floating and I seen like car seats. And then I seen the big goo thing. So yeah, I still haven't been back there yet.
There's definitely something, disturbing about like a blob type monster. And you know, speaking of the Blob, it's a classic horror movie, but probably one of the most creepiest things, probably one of the most, and I know there's much more disturbing stuff out there nowadays, but I remember this was really disturbing for the 80s version of the Blob, is it actually killed a kid in the movie. And you didn't see that in horror movies, not that young of a kid's getting killed, you know, so.
No, that was taboo. That was like, that was the one thing movies and like TV shows might drop like a mild curse word or might show something a little bit edgy. But that was like the one line nobody had crossed, like was the younger kids dying. And yeah, the Blob completely destroyed that. Right.
Yeah, I saw it and I was just like, oh, gosh, you know. Now, okay, and let's touch on this real quick. I don't want to go too deep into this world because I think also there is a thin line between horror movie and something that's just straight up disturbing, okay? I personally do. And I don't even know if I would call this a horror movie, but Midsommar.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I would – I mean, I guess it's a horror movie, but it's – to me, I will never watch it again, okay? I will never watch it again, not because I think it was a bad movie. No, I think the movie accomplished what it set out to do. You know, when you watch that movie, it wants to disturb you. So, yes. And when a movie accomplishes what it sets out to do, that means it's a good movie in my book. Now, I don't want to watch it again because I don't want to feel that feeling again. So,
yeah, that one was. I guess you would call it a horror film. But yeah, that one, I don't even want to think about it, actually. That one was, that one in Hybrid, where the new Hybrid is one of those that's like, wow, like it's the first time, like it's the first newer horror movie that was scary and like original and not just like a CGI none. And I was like, oh man, this is so, and I ain't knocking the Conjuring movies, I watched them all of them. Yeah. But the Hybrid was one of those that was like so good, and I can't speak highly of that movie. That would make the top 10 list,
really.
Hybrid, I messed it up. Hereditary.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard the same thing about that.
I'm sorry, my mind left. Not Hybrid. Hereditary. Holy shit. Anybody watching this, as soon as you get done watching this, go to your Roku and get the Hacks Horror Show app and make sure that's on your TV, and then go watch Hereditary.
Well, we definitely do have the Hacks Horror Show app on our television. Let's do this real quick. Let's do this. Since you gave your top five, let's do this, man, because everybody on the Africa Damn podcast gets asked this question, Hack. We need to hear a hell gig story.
A hell gig story. Shit. A lot, all of them, I guess. I kind of got to, I'll give you the best one. The best one, I'm driving to North Carolina, and we got one car. That car breaks. Get another car. Getting it. Driving there. And of course, Hack being Hack, I would have drank it earlier, but I dropped it. It's over there. I got a whole Mountain Dew like cup thing, full of liquor, and I'm drinking just a ton of Fireball in the back seat. Like, yeah, road trip, completely wasted. Next thing you know, we're pulled over. Pouring it out. That's holding us up, dealing with the cop. He lets us go, but now we're super late. So now we're driving as fast as we can all the way there. We run all the way there. We get there. I done forgot part of my bag, so I got this weird, like, greenish shirt that don't even fit me on. Sweating nasty. The building has no bathrooms. There's no food. There's nothing to clean off. Half the shit ain't there. I ended up not even really doing that much, more sitting with the people in the crowd. I'm like, fuck it, I'm with you guys, I'm done. Trying to leave there was awful. It's raining, it's pouring down. I'm completely nasty, dirty, going into a Waffle House, trying to wash off in the sink.
Oh, my God, in a Waffle House. Holy crap.
Yeah, and I'm just walking in, and they're like, honey, was you in a car wreck? I'm like, no. Much worse. Trying to wash off in the sink.
And this was after a wrestling gig?
Yes, it was. It was a wrestling gig. The wrestling gig was bad. And the other one, the hell gig, was not the experience on the movie, but recently just went out to Odessa, Texas. And I did a cameo as Hack in a new science fiction horror film from Slash and Chill Productions with the badass creator, director, prop guy, fucking Jake Perry, which is a fucking awesome dude. Loving it.
I like Jake's stuff.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm going out there to see Jake. And on the plane, they're like, hey, the people didn't show up to fly the plane, so we're gonna find somebody else. I'm like, all right.
Oh shit!
Come find, and they bring this tiny little tuna can of a plane, straight out of 1960. I mean, it's still got orange shag carpet and the ashtrays still in the back of the seat.
Is that a disco ball, sir? Yes.
Yeah, and I'm cramped in like this, and they split everybody up into two seats, and then they're like, no, man, we need you to sit over here to level out the plane. And I get in there, we're going into Houston, and right, I can see the pilot up front. And we just hit this tropical storm that just hit a few months back. And as soon as we hit the storm, I mean, it's turbulence, it's crazy, and I can't move. And he's just like, oh, yeah, we hit this turbulence. Hangs up. And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, oh, yeah, we might have to crash land. Hangs up. And I'm like, I'll start yelling at him. I'm like, you fucking cocksucker, can't you say, but I got you. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. Any of that shit, just we might crash land. And then he just hangs it up. So I know he could hear me yelling. I'm like, not even, but it's going to be okay, folks. No worries. Nothing. Luckily, we make it. I got a layover because the storm's so bad. And I'm stuck in Houston in an airport for eternity. Then I finally make it out to Odessa. And I've been everywhere. Memphis, Birmingham, love all those cities. Atlanta, I love that place. Love here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Cincinnati, Detroit. All these places I love. Go to them all, at least once a year. All these towns. Always make it by there. Love them. Some people don't like them. The worst place I've ever found on this planet is Odessa, Texas. It's like, what the fuck is this? It's just oil things that are all rusty. All the plants, like what little bit of plants are there? The grass has thorns, wants to kill you. What grass you can find? The weeds have thorns. The trees have thorns. There's like a pregnant wild cat eating a fucking rattlesnake. All the people were horrible. Everything's tan and run down. It is the only like hotel they got is falling down because they built this thing and nobody's ever fucking come there to stay. Like nobody's going there to vacation. That has to be, besides making the movie with Jake, which was a ton of fun. Loved it. One of the best experiences ever. Other than that, when you leave the set or you leave Jake's company, I was like, this is the worst fucking place on the planet. Like, I even did a thing on my show, and I just told people, like, I did, like, a travel commercial about Odessa and was completely honest. Like, the nicest place I found, like, I wouldn't, like, fucking put a damn dead dog in. Like, I don't even know how to describe how awful, how bad Odessa. Fuck everybody in Odessa. Get the fuck out of there. Run. Run as fast as you can. Like,
included the baby gig, mama cat.
The hell gig was definitely having to be a few days in Odessa, Texas. Thank God got the fuck out of there.
You survived the horror movie shit show known as Odessa, Texas.
Yes.
You survived. Well, I tell you what. All right, Hack. We got to do this.
Let's do it.
We got to do some mind reading here, brother. All right?
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to do some mind reading here on the Abracadam podcast.
Ready.
All right, here we go, brother. Here we go. I tell you what I want you to do is I want you to think of a card. All right? Let me know when you got it. You got a card? Gotcha. All right, yep. Cool. Now, let's see here. I'm going to try to read your mind. Yes. All right. Here we go. Now, I've got a deck of cards here, Hack, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut the deck. But first, I'm going to go right here. All right. I've cut this deck of cards right here. I'm obligated, brother. I cannot get out of this. I tell you what, for the first time, will you say the card that you're thinking of?
You want me to say it?
Say it, sir.
My card that I was thinking of?
Card that you're thinking of.
The Three of Hearts.
Three of Hearts?
Yes.
Oh, you sure it wasn't the Three of Diamonds?
It's close.
Okay, it's close. Very close. Very close. It was All right, he was thinking of the three of hearts, but I got the three of diamonds. But, you know, this is what else is so weird. Actually, I knew you were going to think of the three of hearts. I really did. I'm not bullshitting. Really, I'm not. Because have you ever heard the saying where magicians keep things up their sleeves? Have you ever heard that saying? Okay, that's total bullshit, except for this one time. Because if you look right here on my sleeve, Hack, you will see a tattoo of the three of hearts.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Da-da-da.
Holy man.
Good thing you didn't say the ace of spades, or I would have had to take my pants off. So yeah.
Tell me that Lemmy tattoo.
All right, man. Well, let's do this. Before we get out of here, we also like to ask a thought-provoking question. Okay. So let's do this. Here we go. There's so many. Okay, let's do this. Out of all the horror movies you have seen, which horror movie would you like to be in? If you could be in any of these movies. And what I'm saying is not so much as an actor, but the character itself. What movie would you like to be in?
Oh, if I could be in any of them?
Yes.
That Wishmaster, man, I would love to be in that. I would end the world in like seconds. So
you would be the Wishmaster, or would you be somebody, a victim, or somebody trying not to be a victim of the Wishmaster?
Ooh. Oh, man, if I could be him, I totally would. I would. I would.
That would have to be. You would definitely be. I've got to see this movie now, because and for you guys listening, you've got to go see The Wishmaster too, because this sounds like an awesome movie. Robert Englund's in this movie. Kane Hodder's in this movie. Who else did you say was in it?
Tony Todd is in this movie.
Tony Todd is it? By the way, did you see the new Candyman?
Not yet. I have not seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet either. I was a fan of the old one. I haven't heard anything about the new one, but I need to check that out too.
I haven't heard much. Some people, like the little bit I have heard, everybody's on the fence about good or bad, but it's still on the list. I still have to see it.
Well, the cool thing is, you know, just like Robert Englund, Tony Todd is the Candyman, and I like the way that they kept it true with Tony Todd. Well, I tell you what, Hack, before we get out of here, brother, besides the amazing movie that will be out Halloween in theaters, local theaters, and eventually will be on Amazon Prime streaming services, WJHCAM. Okay.
Yes.
Where else can the listeners find you? Where can they learn more about Hack's Horror Show?
On the Hack's Horror Show, if you go check out Hack's Horror Show on Facebook, do a lot of updates there. Twitter, Instagram, I try to keep up. Reddit, I try to keep up on that, but I fucking can't. There's too much going on. But you can find me on Vimeo, Hack's Horror Show. That's a little free little website. Vimeo, it's sort of like YouTube. You can find me on Roku by myself there with the Hack's Horror Show app on Roku. Pretty soon, late at night, if you stay up late, you can see me on the Monster Channel, and you can see me on Asai TV. There's so many kick-ass shows on Asai TV. It's on all platforms, everything, the interweb, but Vimeo, Roku, Asai TV, the Monster Channel. Keep an eye on Facebook, because I do a lot of shit there. You'll see me pop up in Big and Funky Movies with Danny. And other people, you will see me pop up in Slash and Chill Films. And you will occasionally, if you keep an eye on the Facebook, you will get the always do free shows called Hack's Horror Show Live, which I take over the movie theater. And we can drink, party, have a good time, and watch whatever the fuck we want to. But don't pick too many things, because they make me run the projector too, and that sucks. But keep an eye on that. But you can watch everything right now for free on Vimeo and Roku. And for $5 a month, you can get Asai TV, which is fucking incredible. And soon on the Monster Channel. And if anybody's out there listening, write the Horror Host Hall of Fame and say, put Hack in there because I want it. I ain't going to stop till I get it.
Awesome, brother. Well, you definitely deserve it. And you got my vote. I tell you what, Hack, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast, man. This has been a blast.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Hack from Hack's Horror Show. If you guys don't, be sure to go to your Roku and download the Hack's Horror Show app, and you can watch his episodes there or the Side Network. You can see him there on the Side Network. I think it's, like he said, $5 a month. A really cool channel is the Side Network. And, you know, like I said, man, I love horror movies. He does, too. I love talking about it. And I think it's perfect for this time of year. Of course it is. If you guys have not done so yet, be sure to follow and subscribe to the Abracadam podcast on whatever platform it is that you listen to podcasts on. And let me say this. I want to give a big shout out to India, Philippines, and Tanzania. I see you. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Birthday party?